Amen.
Blog Talk Amen. Radio.
There are times in this life when you just can't see the beauty of what God has put inside of you.
Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I am here tonight with my beautiful sisters in Christ, Minister Tina Brown, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers. We have Mother Matt T in the house, and we're just so blessed that all of you have joined us here on tonight for Daughters of Naomi for this Wednesday, June the 8th, 2022. Now, tonight's topic, what we're going to be discussing with you sisters tonight about is knowing your worth. The Word of God declares and decrees in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 14, For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Hallelujah. Sisters, to think that God created each of us in the womb, fashioning us uniquely and individually, is nothing short of miraculous. Yet as we go through life, we begin to doubt our God-given worth due to outside messages that try to undermine God's purpose and participation in our lives. And these outside messages can begin from a very young age. And the scars of those messages can sometimes be seen for the rest of one's life if we don't turn all of our brokenness over to God and allow Him to heal us. Because God created us to be in a personal relationship with Him, which is the greatest honor this side of heaven, saints. We are worthy because He made us in His image to fellowship with Him, to follow His ways, and to draw others to His saving grace. The Bible has a lot to say about our worth. And tonight, we hope to encourage you greatly as we share a few scriptures that will paint and stories and nuggets of truth that will paint beautiful pictures of what makes you valuable in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the biblical view of self-worth is not only freeing, it is encouraging for everyone who has struggled with self-esteem. You see, in our search for value, we begin with the scriptures that say, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them." That was Psalm 139, verses 16 through 17. You see, God has overseen every stage of our development, and He has ordained our days before we even took our first breath.
Yes.
Think about that for a moment. He spent time fashioning us into His likeness so that we could walk the earth as His child, a child representing their father. His thoughts over us are always good, because He wants the very best for us. We were created with great worth. The God of the universe does not waste time thinking about worthless things. Instead, He thinks about those He loves with the best and most pure of intentions. He works in our lives for the glory, for His glory, and for our good. Our worth is exemplified as we walk with God. Author and pastor A.W. Tozier once wrote, "When the Lord lays His hands upon a man, that man ceases at once to be ordinary. He immediately becomes extraordinary, and his life takes on cosmic significance." You see, Christ knows His own sheep by name. There are no unknown Christians, and there are no insignificant sons or daughters of God. Each one signifies, each is a sign, drawing the attention of the triune God day and night upon him. What a beautiful word picture of God laying his hands upon those who seek him and walk with him. As we enter the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd, our worth is exemplified by Christ who is in us. His light shines through us as we live in a dark world and we are set apart for his glory. John 10, 3 through 4 says, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice."
Mm-hmm.
So the closer we follow Jesus, the more attuned we are to his voice over the voice of those voices that we hear in the world. And the things he speaks about our worth are always absolutely true. We are significant because Jesus has called us to be significant for his kingdom. So the closer we walk with him, the less we will focus on self-worth, but instead we will focus on the one who is really truly worthy to be praised, and that's Jesus. So we have to allow our personal worth to be exemplified or to shine through by abiding in the Good Shepherd who is Christ Jesus. And as we do, his love will radiate through us, magnifying his presence in our life. Now, I can't think of a greater worth than that. And sisters, Nothing can steal our worth in Christ. Sin and shame are the main culprits in hindering our sense of worth. And certainly we can't ignore them. However, we also cannot remain stuck in them, allowing self-condemnation to steal our sense of worth in Christ. This is a huge distraction that comes only from the enemy. This is one of those little mind games he likes to play. You see, but God loved us while we were all still sinners, and he continues to love us in order to bring us to the saving knowledge of his son, Jesus. So don't let anyone make you believe you are worthless to the Lord. Your past and your even current mistakes are always, and I do mean always, redeemable. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, God is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and purify us. And nothing can steal our worth, not even sin and shame. Daily, we can enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We can go boldly to his throne to receive forgiveness. Nothing builds self-worth more than knowing we are walking in the obedience of the Lord. And it's because of what he's done for us that we want to be obedient. What a beautiful relationship with the Savior that builds our worth on the foundation of his sacrifice.
Yeah.
So, Lord Jesus, I just want to take a moment to thank you for redeeming us from sin, shame, and death. Lord God, I thank you for knowing that nothing can steal our worth found in your finished work on the cross. So I pray that you help us to remember that the veil was torn in two so that we could enter the Holy of Holies and meet with you. Daily, Father God, I praise you that we have the opportunity to confess our sin, to turn from them and receive your forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, please purify us from all sin and shame that we might walk worthy of your kingdom. It is in your name I pray all things. Amen and amen. All right, my sisters, we've been talking about self-worth. Now, let's get into it because, as I have said, some of these attitudes and these voices that we hear can start from a very early age. Now, everybody, I want you to know that your mics are unmuted. I see you, Pastor Vanessa, Mother Mattie, everyone, your mics are already unmuted. So I just want us to jump in here, and when we talk about these messages starting at an early age, Apostle Zeta, I know that you have raised over 20-something foster children. So you might know something about dealing with some of those messages that some of your children may have come to you with that you had to work to retrain. Why don't you speak to us on some of maybe some experience you may have had?
All right, I certainly will. One was told that she was a no count, that you know, she wasn't going to make anything out of herself. Another was told, it's all your fault, and you're bad. And trying to think of another. They all, well, I won't say they all, but several of them had issues like that where they didn't feel of their value. They didn't feel worthy. They didn't feel loved. Mostly, they didn't feel loved. And then one told me one time that she knew, and I won't mention who that person was in her life, but mentioned that this person, she knew this person loved her. It was a different kind of, she didn't understand what love really was and what she thought was definitely not love. So, you know, they were just feeling like nobody loved them. You know, even to the point where they just, you know, if you told them you loved them, I'm speaking as a couple of them, they couldn't believe it.
Right.
You know? So in my case, having them with me and in my under my leadership, I mean, not leadership, but yes,
church.
That too, but in the church, but also, you know, parenting them, I let them know. I let them know, first of all, that Jesus loved them.
Yes.
And the ones that were old enough to understand, I told them what he did.
That's right.
For them and for everyone.
Yes.
And then we taught them those little songs like Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others, you know, quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And they learned to really feel that love and to know,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were getting it from me and they were getting it from others in the church and others that were around us, friends and family, you know, readily accepted them. So they knew. So it made a difference in their lives. But and it's important for all of us. And as you were saying earlier in the beginning that, you know, it starts early. I mean, it's how people feel about themselves. And they feel that way for different reasons. How they have been treated, how they have been mistreated, how much they have been neglected. You know,
yes,
and so forth.
And
I don't know how much more you want, but
oh, that's fine, Apostle Zeta. Thank you.
Okay.
You can come back in at any time. One of the other things that you know, I mention this a lot because it is our reality. There are so many young girls having children. And because they are not prepared, because they are children themselves, you know, a lot of times that comes, you know, the way they deal with their frustration, their hopelessness is many times taken out on their children. So I'm going to ask that Pastor Vanessa Carver come in because she is a counselor. She is trained, and we want her to talk to us about some of the feelings and the things that young people can begin to deal with at an early age about self-image and self-esteem. Pastor Vanessa?
Yes, ma'am. Hello, everyone. Good evening. I think that, Apostle Cook, a lot of times we underestimate the power of learning. To parent.
Yes.
Just because you have a child does not mean you know how to parent. And you, I think a lot of times, no matter how old you are or how young you are, you know, people, especially if there's a court order, they sometimes make the people involved in custody suits go through parenting classes. Right now, it's been more on the forefront of people talking about postpartum depression that women go through after they have children. And, you know, depending on what generation you're talking about, these things were never talked about or taught about. Some women, even when they're married or whether they're raising these children by themselves, are reeling out of control and not all there. And so they're raising kids or the kids are not being raised or whatever may have you. And I think that, you know, what I believe in is safe communities. If we know we have a single parent in our neighborhood, if we know we have a single parent in our homes, I mean, in our churches and in our families, we should be rallying around these young women and these young men in some cases that are left to have to raise children by themselves without resources. When we've become very good and adept at making sure that the natural things are met, like, you know, food, clothing, and shelter, but we don't think about the mental and emotional or spiritual aspects of raising a child.
All right.
And that's where we can do a lot better. You know, we saw here this a lot. It says, you know, it takes a village to raise a child.
To raise, yeah.
And one time I was praying, and I said, well, what if the people in the village ain't right? And it just got me, it just really, that messed with me for about weeks because I said, Lord, this is the problem. You can have a village, but still it's not safe. So I said, Lord, help us to create communities where we are building up the women and the men, young men who are fathers, and that they do it as a unit. And then no child will be left behind. No child, the village is healthy, so the children will be healthy, right? But
that's
if the
right.
village is not healthy,
right.
there's no sense in going around saying that and faking the funk when there's so much dysfunction that's embedded in some of our communities. And I feel like it starts with our Christ-centered biblical view. You know, it starts there, and then the Lord will lead and guide us of what we can do, especially for some of us that have been called to this demographic, whether it has to do with children or whether it has to do with families and parenting. And I truly believe that it starts with real conversation and safe places.
Yes.
And saying that, are we dealing with every aspect of that young family? Are we dealing with the spirit, soul, and body? Are we just dealing with only dealing with their physical needs? Or in some cases, because there's a lot of enlightenment, are we just dealing with their mental needs, but we're not talking about the spiritual aspect?
Right.
So I think that, you know, Apostle Cook, that's where I think we can start with being honest and looking at things the way they really are and say, Lord, how can the village be healthy so that the village can, you know, it says it takes many hands, make light work, but also a healthy village is going to be able to support healthy children, and it also will be cultivating self-worth. That's really a healthy self-worth based on Christ's principles.
Amen. That's true. Amen. And, you know, it's so important to let your children know. You know, especially your young girls know that they are, you know, they are worthy. They are beautiful. They are, you know, they don't have to walk down the street half naked trying to get the attention of other people. But we know that the enemy tries to say, you know, they cram them social media and television. They cram sex sales down young girls' throats, and they, you know, they have young women who are anorexic, you know, because they're trying to be a size 2 when their body frame say they should be a size 8. You know, we've got young girls, you know, packing on makeup. They have enough makeup on their faces, you know, that you could actually do a makeup factory. So I'm going to ask Mother Mitchell and Mother Matt T to just weigh in on some of that. And what do you feel like we can do, or how would you talk to a young sister about her self-worth and covering up her body? Mother Mitchell?
Well, you know, I'm one of those young women that had a baby at a young age. But I also had Christ in my life at a young age, and I think that makes a big difference, because not only did I have a human child to raise, I believed I had a soul that was up to me to start teaching and cultivating the soul of my children, all of them for that matter, but especially
Thank
the first
Jesus.
One. Because you have to give them something to hang on to. And, you know, it used to be other parents in the neighborhood would help you look after your kids. You can't trust that anymore. It's some of those same parents, my daughter Vanessa was saying, that will do your children harm, boys and girls.
Amen.
Yeah,
but what would you say?
Depend on the community or the village to do the
Amen.
Right thing. And
Thank you, Jesus.
Not only do you have to know it for yourself, but you also have to convey that to your children, that if some other grown-up tells you something wrong, you don't you are equipped to stand there and argue with them. You get your little self on home and you come and tell me and let me go back and argue with the, I won't say argue, but, you know, discuss whatever they're telling you that was not right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because
Amen.
I'm not handing my children over to them. To
Amen.
Them or tell them
Mother what
they want to tell them. So I will stop there. But, you know, God tells us what we should do with our children, and there's a soul there to be cultivated and raised as well as a body. And what I see happening so much of the time is that we only look at the body. We don't realize that there's a soul there to be dealt with as well.
Amen.
Thank
well,
you.
Mother, I'm going to move on now to Mother Matt T. Mother Matt T, maybe you will answer my question for me. Mother Matt T, you see a young lady walking down the street. And, you know, she's scantily clothed, but she sits down at the bus stop beside you. What kind of a conversation, Mother Mattie, would you have with that young lady? How would you, because, see, and the reason I ask that question is because the time, you know, it's nice to sit up and spiritualize and you know, philosophize, but we need to really get down to the brass tacks of telling women how they can have conversations, letting them know what that conversation sounds like, because we have to get, you know, we have to go out and truly, truly start telling them the truth. So, Mother Mattie, what would you say to that young woman if you saw her scantily clad and she sat down beside you on the bus stop?
Is she just crying?
She don't even have to be crying. You just see her, you know, you just see her, and she's a pretty girl, but she's scantily clad. What kind of a comment, you know, but she don't look mean or nothing. So what would you say to that young lady to let her know she had worth without having to take off or, you know, be out there with no clothes on?
I would tell her. You know, I would tell her young lady, no harm. No harm in what I'm saying. I don't mean no harm or to hurt your feelings. But you're a beautiful young lady. You don't have to present yourself that way, dress that way to get attention. You're already beautiful as you are. God made you in his image the way you are. And God made you the way he wants you to be. You are a beautiful young lady. And I don't know if anybody ever told you, but you must respect yourself. And I would say that you don't have to dress like that, to dress more ladylike. Dress more ladylike and cover yourself up. And I will, you know, I might would ask her questions.
Yeah.
You know, did your parents tell you about Jesus and about Father God? And it depends on what she say. If she say, no, I've never been taught about the Lord, then I tell her about the Lord. I tell her that
ma'am.
The Lord loves her. The Lord loves her just the way she is. The Lord loves all his children, but the Lord loves you. You don't have to abuse yourself. The Lord loves you. I want you to have self-esteem and love yourself as well and know that the Lord loves you. And it is, and it starts in the home. I don't know what kind of childhood you had. I said, because some people, they really do their children bad. They tell their children, you'll never amount to nothing. You're just like your old good daddy. Like your own no good mama.
Come on.
You won't be nothing.
Yeah.
But I tell you, don't let nobody stop you from achieving your goals. Don't let nobody make you feel bad and make you feel worthless. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. And you are that special, and you're special and beautiful to him just as you are. You don't have to change yourself.
You don't have to dress like that. Cover yourself. Always be a lady. Be a lady. Be a lady.
There it is.
And know always.
Amen.
The Lord loves you. And you start loving yourself. Don't put yourself
down.
Don't feel inferior to no human being. Do not feel inferior to no human being. You're just as good as anybody else. And really worth more because you, depending on what she's been through, you have been through a lot. If she's been through a lot, I tell her, you've been through a lot. But believe it or not, all your trials, counted as joy, all your hardships counted as joy, because in the end, the Lord will reward you. And this
Praise
is something
God.
That I'm telling you, I don't know you, but you're my daughter in Christ. And
Hallelujah.
I have to tell you this.
Yeah.
And pray the Lord first above all things. I don't know if you go to church or ever been in church, but pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you need, and he will answer prayer. And if she have not thought about going to college, to school, I tell her, go to school. Learn all you
yeah.
can. That's what I tell all young people. Go to school. Learn all you can.
Yeah.
But above all things, put the Lord first above all things. And I will give her a hug. I'll hug her.
Amen. Amen, Mother Lexi. Now, that's how you roll. That's how a mother rolls. You know what I'm saying? You see a young person, and I tell us older sisters all the time, you know, we stand around and twiddle our thumbs waiting for someone to give us an inroad to teach.
Yeah.
No, beloved. God has called us to teach whether they want to be taught or not. Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
So it's our job to stand in the gap and teach, and we teach by modeling. And one of the things that, you know, the what I heard you say, Mother Matty, is so that was so touching to me is that, you know, you're saying you have worth. And if you don't believe in yourself, how is anybody else going to value you?
Yeah.
You know,
true.
And like I said, through frustration, through not knowing, through their own experiences, a lot of mothers do a lot of, you know, they say some very, they really say some hurtful things in the presence of their children.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you say something hurtful to a child, you know, I don't care if you go out and buy them the world the next day. They still will never forget
those
words that you said. The damage is already done. So then, you know, you can't go out and mistreat your children one day and then think you can buy them a toy or a dress or let them go do something and it will remove scar of your words. It does not.
No.
And it will not. Minister Tina, come on in the room with your thoughts so far.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much for this topic. There's so many young women out there who are lost, who don't know which way to turn. Maybe their parents are in their careers and aren't home and have left them home you know, by themselves all the time. Maybe they do have Christ in their home, but they're not home to teach Christ. They depend on the church or the school or what have you. Maybe there's something that happened to that girl that they don't know about that she didn't discuss, and maybe she's trying to get attention, whether she might have been bullied or she might have been abused in some way, and dressing that way may be a way that she's getting attention because she's not getting the attention that she needs at home. Learning about the Lord is so important because then they can know to turn to Christ opposed to turning to a stranger or trying to get their attention from somebody that's going to cause them to do something that's not going to be beneficial to their future. Teaching them that no matter what, Jesus still loves them, that there is a path for them, and that if they stay on course and they walk with Christ, they will see the blessings come.
and the blessings are there.
Amen.
And that it's
That's
not
true.
Their fault,
mm-hmm.
whatever happened to them or if they're being ignored or what have you. I've heard a lot of parents when I was raising my kids tell their kids they couldn't wait till they were 18 and out of the house and they were 5 and 6 years old. I didn't understand that,
mm-hmm.
that they're wanted and that they're needed and Jesus loves them and that they are wanted. The Lord wants them. They are loved.
Amen.
They are wanted. They are
Amen.
And how
That's
important
right.
that is
Amen.
To feel loved
Jesus.
And wanted. There's nothing worse than feeling mm-hmm. like, well, if it wasn't for you kids, if it wasn't for you, I would have this. I would have that. So
yes.
letting them know that they are wanted and that they are worthy of God's love. God loves them
yes.
no matter what. And he,
yes.
he brought his son here to die for us, all of us, including the children. And that they
Amen.
Are worthy of God's
yes.
love.
Amen.
That's
and
right.
you know, we need to, mothers especially need to be aware of what you open your children up for by the way you teach your children. We have so many mothers today that they are self-centered, unfortunately. You know, they, you know, they're,
mm-hmm.
some mothers are in competition with their daughters. Some mothers are,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's about me and I'm with my man and we doing our thing and, you know, but ladies,
mm-hmm.
you have to understand when
True.
You do this, when you do this, you're opening your children up for all kind of, for the enemy to visit them with all kind of spirits, like the spirit of rejection, the spirit
yes,
of fear,
yes.
the spirit of
yes.
acceptance. You know,
yes.
when your child doesn't hear that you're beautiful, I love you, I know you're special
mm-hmm.
at home, then the first
yes.
piece of thing
mm-hmm.
that something out there that ain't even a man comes along and says, oh, you're beautiful. Well, the next
mm-hmm.
thing you know, your daughter gone on out the door and
mm-hmm.
she don't come back and she has a great, you have a grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
have got to be mindful of what
yes.
we say to our daughters.
And
we
right
have got
that.
To be mindful. We have got to allow our daughters to be nurtured, and we have to allow them to grow into who they are. Because you actually have some mothers that want to live vicariously through their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Their daughters
yes.
spend their whole lives not knowing who they are or their worth because they're too busy being on the hamster wheel trying to do what mama wants them to do. Mama didn't get to be
yeah.
a cheerleader, so now she wants you to be a cheerleader.
Yeah.
yeah.
She doesn't know what you're doing. You're denying that child the right
mm-hmm.
to be who God created them
are.
To be.
That's true.
Amen. Yeah.
So we have to say, so come on in, somebody. Anybody else you want to jump in on? What are your thoughts on that? Come on in. Jump on in if you haven't been addressed.
I do, Apostle.
Yes, Mother Mitchell.
She says that like, please go away, Mama. No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't brag on my daughter very often in public because I raised her bragging on her and telling her she was beautiful. She could do anything she wanted to do. She could be anything that she wanted to work at being. And when the Lord calls her, you know, I have a praise report. I'm going to get to it just in a minute.
Yeah, please
when
get
my
to
daughter
it.
Got hit by a car and was laying in my home, I stopped after work and bought her 3 dresses because she thought she could get up and go to start going back to church with me. And nothing made me happier than that, though. We were always on the church trail together, singing in the choir, prison ministry, gospel radio ministry. We did it all together. And I love that.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know, not one time did I bring my daughter anything that she said, oh, I don't like this. It ain't sexy enough. And I started thanking God for that because I would look at some of
Amen.
The other young women and I thought, well, I dress her like I dress. I want her to be appropriate. I want her to be dressed appropriately.
Yes.
And she never once said that to me. Now, I don't know what children sometimes will say different things behind my face, behind parents' face, but I don't believe she said it behind my face because she wouldn't work if she didn't like it. And she wore all three of those dresses, and then when she got to buy herself some, it was still on the same level. I love this girl to death, and so does the Lord. I'm kept not to death,
But
I she's a special kind.
Yes.
Yes.
Apostle Cook, one more thing I wanted to add. I wanted to add that, you know, what we say has lasting effects on our souls. And being careful and mindful of what we say, even out of anger, can scar a girl for the rest of her life. And so being mindful and making sure that what we say, if we are angry, maybe we say now's not the time to talk about it, and not say things to them that are going to make them feel less, or that they are a burden, or that they are not wanted, or that making sure that when we talk to them, that they know that they are loved, but they're worthy of everything that this life has to offer them.
That's
good.
That's good right there. Come on in the room. Come on, Pastor Darcell.
Well, I thank God for everything, and I'm just listening, and I thank God for Pastor Zeta, Apostle Zeta had invited me. I told her to remind me, but before she called, I thought about the line. She said, get on. I said, okay. But, you know, I thank God for what all of y'all has saying, and it's given me something to think about. But then, you know, and I just want to say, you got to know who you're dealing with. And some people have what kind of spirit that they have and what they want to do in life. You have to see that, you know, and know how to deal and talk with that person. And you said you want to dress like a lady. You should dress like a lady. Number one, you are a lady, but what kind of lady are you? Are you the lady of the church, the lady of the night, the lady of the street, whatever you are? You are a lady, but if you can teach them to become a godly woman, lady, a godly woman of God.
Yes.
You know, there's a difference. Then, you know, we have to stick with holiness. I'm going to say holiness, okay? Because you can't teach the young. And you be an example to them. And not only that, that you teach them how to become a wife, how to be a wife.
You're
married, not yet, but you're going to be somebody's wife. The Bible says he didn't find the wife, and she's not married. You know, you train your daughters to become a wife.
That's right. You do.
Lord
God instructs us.
How to respect
the older women instruct the younger women. Come on.
And you, well, another thing, you got to be holy women. Adorn yourself. Because, see, you got people now, it's not all in the clothes. Yes, it is all in the clothes.
Yes, it is.
Because if it wasn't in the clothes, let me tell you, let's just switch with the people that go to the nightclubs or go to the stripper club. Let them wear some sanctified-looking clothes and don't shake it and don't you know, and fake it and all this and that. But they're looking for something for advertisement. There is a difference in your clothing, and you do got people that are going to church and something now, and these days and time, you got people are telling me it's okay.
Well, honey, right about now, we
to have this skin tight. It's okay wear these nails. It's okay to do this. It's okay. They done watered it down and don't have no respect at all.
Honey,
you got to still wear what they tell you to wear. Even the end, they got to have a suit on. But then,
I just want to say this to
you cannot wear because they're attractive. There's a certain how much makeup you can wear. There's attractive. The clothes are attractive. You can't wear nothing see-through. You can't wear nothing tight that is showing your undergarments. or your partner.
Amen.
But yet,
amen, my sister.
You can sit in the pulpit, do what you want to do. But no, there got to be a difference between the clean and unclean, holy and unholy. There is a difference
amen.
Between the world
oh,
and the
yes.
church.
That's why we must teach
amen.
Jesus Christ. Above
amen.
All
that's
things,
it,
we
it.
Must teach Jesus and living
yeah,
his way.
Right.
Because, see, and
yeah.
I'm sorry, that's what I was going to interject was this. We have first ladies that I have actually walked in their churches. Bless their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Love them to life.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't kneel to pray because their suits were so tight that they couldn't
mm-hmm.
bend. You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, and they wanted everybody to know that they had on red bottom shoes. But baby,
mm-hmm.
that red on the bottom of them shoes does not represent the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see?
Amen.
Sisters, what you need to let these young girls know is that Prada can't save you. Your
amen.
Jordache, your Versace, your,
amen.
You know, your
that,
Calvin
yeah.
Klein, clients, that ain't going to help you, baby.
No.
The makeup will not cover up the stain of your sin.
Right.
You know, we got to teach these young girls, and we've got to let them know, like Sister Diane said, we have to teach them that holiness and righteousness
yes.
is still
yes.
in the Bible. Because if it's
mm-hmm.
Jesus that's giving us our worth, then we should be walking, talking, and sounding like him.
Amen.
That's right.
We have to understand that our worth is not found in the opinions of other people.
Mm-mm.
I tell people, your opinion of me is none of my business, okay?
Amen.
Because it's just
amen.
That, another opinion,
amen.
Okay? Your opinion of me is none of my business. I don't really, you know, I don't care what you think of me. All I care about is what God knows about me. Okay,
amen.
Amen. What does
God
you know,
say
and
you
as
want?
Long and it might be fuddy duddy, not to go out and drink and not to go out and dropping it like it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
You might think it's old fashioned. Well, I'm old fashioned because I'm old school. I have gone back to the old landmark because I learned a long time ago my worth was not determined by how many phone numbers I got from the club.
Yes.
My worth is not determined by whether or not I can have this baby and keep this man or not. My worth is not determined by whether or not I can get the brother with the nice car or the nice house, but he has no moral character. Okay. I am going to be known as a daughter of the Most High God. And as I said earlier, when you're a daughter of the Most High God, that is the greatest honor this side of heaven, baby. When you can stand flat-footed and say, you know what? I am a child of the living God. I know who I am. I know whose I am. Brother, you can take that smack you talking and keep it moving. Okay? Okay. What you talking about? Oh, what? You can take me to Red Lobster. Baby, I belong to God who owns all the cattle on all the hill. What?
Yeah.
I ain't thinking about you. You know,
right.
I'm saying, I used to tell people that all the time. I can take me and my mama to Red Lobster, honey. You ain't doing nothing. But anyway, But women, we have to understand. We help our daughters to form what is valuable in life and what is not. And what we have to begin to teach our daughters is that the things of this world, they are temporal. What we want them to grasp a hold of are the things that are eternal.
Yes.
And we need to talk about, you know, we need to be talking to them about what God would have us do, how God will have us to act, because if we do that, everything goes according to his plan. His plan.
Yes.
You know, for instance, sister said earlier, when the word of God says in Proverbs, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Well, women, if you really believe that, why are so many of you out there on the hunt when all you have to do is stay in place so you can be found?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
But no, you can't, and like the other sister said, before you can be a wife, you need to allow God to make you wife material. See, we get out of order, and we allow the enemy to knock our value down because many times we are doing things out of order. We are not, you know, we are not going about things the right way. We want to take a little bit from the world and a little bit from the Lord and try to make that work, and it doesn't work like that. You're either all in or all out.
That's right.
You know, God doesn't do lukewarm. And so we, you know, so we're teaching our, we have to let our yeas be yeas and our nays be nays, and there cannot be any wavering. You know, you can't be telling young girl or young ladies, you know, well, you ought to be young ladies and you need to be holy and you know, you, because God is holy. And then the next thing they do, they turn around and they hear you talking about your sister like she has two heads and a tail.
Amen.
Or you know how women can be catty. They'll see a sister have on something and they know good and well that sister don't need that outfit on. But they, but instead of not saying anything and just praying, they will actually go up to that sister and say, "Oh girl, you look nice today."
Heard it.
You know, just so they, and then go over to somebody else and say, "Girl, you see that outfit she got on?" Now, this is in the church, saints.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, we have to stop this. We have to stop it. We have to stop it because, see, our daughters are watching us. They hear those conversations that you have on the phone. They see how you interact with people one way in front of their face and another way behind their back. They hear you cussing like a sailor.
Amen.
They see you drinking your, you know, oh, you got to drink your glass of Zinfandel to unwind. You know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They see all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're teaching them a false perception of prosperity. What in the world, baby girl, are you doing buying your six-month-old a pair of $200 Jordans that he is going to grow out of in the next couple of weeks? Why is it so important for your children to be seen in these designer clothes? Because you're sure not doing it for the kids. You're doing that for you.
Yeah.
But then you wonder when your child is eight demanding an iPhone, not an A phone, but an iPhone, with the matching iWatch, you know. And they want that Xbox 5, and they won't, and they won't, and they won't, and they won't, and they won't. And then you can't provide all of that. Then all of a sudden they walking around with an attitude feeling less than the other kids because they got an Xbox or they got that watch or they got that, they have that phone.
It's
true.
We have got to stop setting our daughters and our sons up for failure. We have to start teaching our children, especially our daughters, because you know what they say. Mama's baby, daddy's maybe, okay? So when God calls you into motherhood, honey bunny, you know, the time to find yourself, that's gone because you are now a mother. Okay.
Right.
You don't have kids and then decide you're going to go find yourself. You do. See, what you do is be a young lady while you're a young lady. And then you give your, you live your life and you let God, you know, you let God lead and direct your path. And then you will get married and have your children at the proper time. Hallelujah. But before we get out of here, I just want to give Pastor Darcell and Evangelist Michelle, I want Scott, I want to give you sisters and any other, you know, give you an opportunity to have a word, because I don't want to leave none of my sisters out. I want all my sisters to get in on the game.
Apostle, this is Darcell.
You know, I know who you is, Pastor Darcell.
Okay. So I want to say something. Everything was just beautiful. And I want to say this. I was raised Church of God in Christ all my life.
Sure was.
As a young girl. Came from a strict home. And, yes, they told us things not to wear. It was holiness or hell. I thank God for my foundation right now today because it taught me how to live. But one thing they didn't say is that the clothes you wear, what not to wear and what not to do, it was still people with evil hearts that would be sitting right in the church.
Come on.
Be telling us what not to do. And you hear all these nasty things they were saying. But you know what I came to know? When I came to know Jesus Christ for myself, it has to be a heart change. It has to be a mind. Yes, it's holiness or hell. Yes, these girls need to learn how to dress. But even with us, them telling us what not to do and what to do, you still see people treat people wrong right in the church.
Yes, Lord. Yes, she did.
Yeah, they were so holy. They weren't even earthly. It was terrible, okay?
They were so holy. There was no earthly good.
Right. I know that being raised by a saved, sanctified mother saved me from a lot of things. But yes, I've done things. But you know, when I really turned my heart over to God and changed my life.
Yes, everything changed. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Even the way that God blessed me to sing, it changed.
Come on.
I remember I went to church one day. Y'all going to laugh about this. I had red lipstick on. They told me I couldn't sing in the choir because I had that on. That had nothing to do with my soul. It was the outer person they was looking at.
Yeah.
It wasn't my heart. So I'm saying this to say that. Yes, it's holiness or hell. Yes, they taught us what they knew. But everybody didn't have a heart change and a change of
Come on.
You know how the mothers would come to you and love on you and treat you right, but then you have the sister around the corner saying, I might not have been thin enough. I always been heavy. You know what I'm saying? But
understand
that what they were saying, we could hear. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We were
They wanted you to hear. They wanted you to hear.
Yeah. But those things are very hurtful, the things that you would hear people say. So I'm not saying that holiness of hell is not right, but I am saying that you must, you have a relationship with the Lord. It's got to be some type of love in your heart.
Treat people how
you want to be treated and how God loves you. People need to love you that way if they're going to teach you how to live.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I know my sister Darcell, I know who. Me and my sister Darcell go back like old Cadillac. See, I knew her when I was a little girl. We live catty corner. So I know what she's saying is true. And I'm telling you right now, my sister Darcell probably got more Jesus up in her little finger than some of the people in that choir had in their whole bodies. And I'm going to tell you also this. Hallelujah. You know, we got to remember, if God can use Rahab, okay,
Okay.
So you know what? You see where a sister's at before you start criticizing. Because you know what? God says, come as you are. And we cannot forget that either. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm one of them sisters that, you know, yeah, I've seen some young ladies in the front row, and I know they didn't have, their intentions were not pure, you know, because you don't sit on the front row with a dress as short as they had a dress on. You know what I'm saying? But I want to listen. I will get a lap cloth or a handkerchief, honey. Be preaching the gospel, baby. Come down and drape the lap robe across them and keep right on preaching. Never miss a beat.
Amen. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't got time to be worried about. You know, I needed that fixed because if I'm sitting here looking at your peaks and valleys, I know them brothers in the pulpit is looking at your peaks and valleys too.
Yes.
Now my job is not to disgrace you or to make you feel bad, but by me just laying that lap thing across her knees, let her know we don't wear dresses this short.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I sit in the front row, baby. You know,
right.
Because a lot of times, you know, we've got to remember that some of these young ladies ain't coming from saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled homes. They're coming from the street. Sisters, we are on fifth watch. That means we're going to have the prostitutes, the madams. We're going to have those that have been exploited, abused, coming in. So they don't need to hear our rhetoric. What they need to hear and feel is our love. That's what they need. And they don't need to hear about our credentials. They don't need to hear necessarily hear about everything that we've been through. What we need to be doing is actively listening, praying, and then
you are
sharing the word of God in a way that it actually ministers to that young sister. We need to be ministering to them, not talking at them,
about
not intellectualizing them.
Yeah.
But we need to do like Mother Matt, I don't know where you come from. You know, excuse me, baby. Look, I don't mean no harm. But you know what? You are such a beautiful girl. I see young ladies, they be out there cussing like sailors, MF this and da da da. And I just say, hey, sweetheart. Now, you know you too beautiful to have all that kind of language coming out your mouth. You just don't go with it. Just don't go with who you are. You got all that light up in you and all this coming out. Wait a minute now. And they'll just laugh. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's almost like they was glad somebody said something to them.
Absolutely.
Because these days we're just, you know, folks just complacent. They'll hear people cussing like sailors and going on and you know what I mean? And they'll say, they got a mama. We got a mama. I'm gonna turn my head and act like I don't see it, you know. But I'm gonna let my sister Evangelist Michelle Scott come on in here. And honey, you can sound off on all you've heard so far this evening, if you like. But I want to thank you, sisters, because you are laying it down beautifully tonight. Really, really, all of it. Go ahead, Evangelist.
Yeah, good evening. First, I just want to say praise God for the program. It's been phenomenal. Like it's been said before, we need to instill in not just our boys, but our girls, but just all children, whether they come from us or not, they're worth. They need to know that they are beautiful. They need to know that they can be something. They will be something. Anything that they put their minds to, they need to know that they are worthy and that they deserve. Because some of these kids, like it's been said, they've been told that they're nothing. They're not going to be nothing. They've been beaten down. And they start to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to build up their self-esteem and not tear it down. We have to help them to be able to come boldly to people when they
hear
things that aren't right. They need to be able to have the word to fight back. We have
That's
to help mold their minds and let them know that there's nothing that's too hard for God. So whatever they've been through, God can help you get through it. We need to introduce them to Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, to those who don't know him, so that they'll know that he's always there with them. He'll never leave them, nor will he ever forsake them. You know,
we
women that's on the panel, we women that are talking, we've been through some things. So we need to pour into our young women and fill them up so much that they're about to burst with new ideas and possibilities. That they are walking a beautiful walk. To be a woman is a gift, and they need to hold themselves accordingly. You know, we need to let the pouring cycle just continue to flow from one sister to another sister to another sister. The cycle just needs to keep pouring. Like
what
she said, that all the things become joy. These kids are joys in their mother's eyes when they're first put in their mother's arms as a baby. Their mother has so many ideas and, oh, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. So what changes a mother to she go from you're going to be this to you're going to be that to you're dirty, you're no good, you're worthless, you're shiftless.
Right.
Something was not poured into that mother, you see. So we have to continue to love on these girls, love on the children, period. Pour into them on a constantly basis and have places set up in our churches or our organizations that have people that have been through some things so that they won't sugarcoat the real things that these kids. You really can't sugarcoat too much of these kids either because they done seen it all. They done been there. Some of them done experienced things that we adults haven't even experienced. So we got to bring them back, the ones that have been forced to be adults at 6 and 7 years old. We have to bring them back to their childhood first, let them be children, help them to grow back into the young men and women that God would have them to be. And I just thank you guys for this opportunity. May God continue to bless and cover you all.
Amen. Thank you, my dear. Beautiful. Beautifully said, beautifully done.
Yeah.
You know, also, my sisters, another thing that we do that truly devalues our children and devalues our faith, is that we parent out of fear, or we parent out of guilt, or we parent out of some sense of, I want my child not to go through what I go through. I beseech you on tonight to parent your children according to the word of God.
Yes.
Because, you know, I tell young people all the time, look, your mom did the best she could with what she knew. And there comes a time when our children will have to stand and be accountable for themselves. Now, you can either support them and empower them, or you can enable them and you can cripple them.
Amen.
Because, see, they have to live out in this big world. They're going to have to go out there. So what are you pouring into your daughters, hallelujah, that will prepare them to stand against all the things that they have to come up against out in this world? Like the sisters were saying, the village is not always right, so you can't depend on the village. People that we used to tell our sons and daughters to go to, clergy, police officers, counselors, Lord Jesus, the youth pastor, look, you can't always tell your children to go to them either, because some of them is just not right. So what we need to be doing is having the mindset of Christ. See, because when Jesus knew that, you know, somebody had to die for the sins of the world, he didn't look down here, saints of God. He said he was the first one to say, send me, I'll go.
Amen.
That's what it says. The word of God says he sat up there with the Father, and then in the fullness of time, it said, he allowed himself to be birthed into flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So he's sitting up here watching everything the whole time. He created us. He's watched our, like I said earlier, he's watched our development. None of our development comes as a surprise to us. But if we would just remember that we are all children of God, and he fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of us. He took the time to uniquely fashion each and every one of us. And that in and he made us in the likeness of his image. Think about that. You are made in the image of Creator God. You are made in the very image of the one who loves you most and loves you best and created you. And God does not create junk, okay? He doesn't make any junk. So what we need to understand is, like my sister, Pastor Vanessa, was saying earlier, we need to start rallying around each other. All of my sisters have said, we need to start rallying around each other. But when we need to rally with purpose. We need to rally to really find out what's going on with some of these young women. We need to actively hear their concerns. We need to actively hear their fears. We have to, and we need to actively address them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before, during, and after prayer, we need to be actively meeting those needs. We need to be educated. We need to be empowering and equipping. First, with the Word of God. Then let all of our life lessons develop from that word. Because it's the word of God that will save. It's the word of God that will keep us. It's the word of God that makes us holy.
Yes.
It's the word of God that makes us righteous. It's that Christ in it, Jesus, the Logos, the holy written word of God, living word of God. And that word has to be active in our lives before we can pass down the mantle. And because a young lady does not belong to you or she does not have your last name does not mean you are not responsible for pouring in whatever God tells you to pour in if you are given that opportunity. We can no longer stand around and just twiddle our thumbs and hope that they'll come out with a real cute video on YouTube or TikTok about it. Okay. We have to say, Lord, send me. I'll go. I'll be accountable. Yeah. Nobody else will tell this young sister what time it is. I'll tell this young sister what time it is. I can show this young sister some love. You know, young ladies, like we said, young ladies aren't taught to be wise. They aren't taught to be women, let alone wise. Okay? We have to understand that being a woman and knowing your worth does not mean that you know, some man has called you his woman. Being validated, knowing that you are, don't worry about being validated. Be more concerned about being consecrated, set apart, sanctified for the work of the Most High God. Don't worry about being validated. Worry about being grounded in the Word of God. Don't worry about being validated. Be more concerned about being known as a praying woman.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You know, don't worry about people telling you your clothes are the bomb. Be more concerned about people loving you because you have a heart that pours out like a bomb of Gilead upon them.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, we need to be concerned about the things of God at all times. We need to stop wrong. We have to train up our children. You know, we have to train them that they're already victorious. And that is different from being arrogant or thinking they're better than. It's about saying, knowing that in Christ they can do all things, that in Christ they can be all things. In Christ, they can go wherever Christ tells them to go. and they don't have to be afraid, and they don't have to worry about what others think of them, because they
right.
will know and understand if God has deemed them worthy, then they're worthy.
Yes.
Then they're worthy. So my sisters, I pray, if anybody has any final comments, have you thought of anything that you might like to have said, Pastor Vanessa, Apostle Zeta, some of you that spoke earlier, if you have any final comments you'd like to come in with, we have about 10 minutes left, so if you'd like to quickly come on in the room and make your final, you ladies are welcome to have a final comment.
Praise God.
I think...
Yes, Bishop Cook, I just thought about something. You're talking about some others. They didn't accomplish what they wanted to in life, and they forced their daughters to do it. I thought about Brooke Shields. Brooke Shields
yeah.
was just 10 years old. She was made to pose nude for Playboy. She's a child. Now, her
yep.
brother was supposed to protect her daughter. One was not supposed to let her daughter do that. And that's in the entertainment
right.
Field. And then
right.
Michael Jackson, his dad, Joe Jackson, would beat him. And
yeah.
Again, he made his sons become famous by singing. You stop talking about parents. They lost their dreams and they want to shove it on their children. And that's not right. That's not right. As a parent, you're supposed to protect your child. And Joe Jackson beating
yes,
on Michael, and then Brooke Shields, her mother making her pose nude for Playboy. She's 10 years old. Come on now.
That's right.
Come on.
Now, sometimes,
from all hurt, harm, and danger.
Yes.
When they get old
yes,
enough and they become grown, then they own their own. But as a minor, as a child, you are responsible for them. And
yes,
I said, I pray for
amen.
The children. I really do. I pray for the young people.
Yes,
I pray for them. I pray for them. Because some of them do not know the Lord and the pardon of their sins. Some of them don't never been to church. And you
amen.
Have to have a foundation. And home training starts
yes,
at home.
Yes.
But if you see a child
yes.
that's not being treated right,
amen.
Then we, as adults, we're responsible for trying to help that child and teach that child, give that child self esteem. We responsible
amen,
for
Mother
Matthew.
Thank you. All
I
right, I heard Apostle Zeta
that.
And I heard Pastor Vanessa. Apostle Zeta, Pastor Vanessa, we'll hear from you.
All right. Yes, I just wanted to say that you know, when we have that opportunity to have children in our homes, in our churches, child care, wherever, as believers in Christ Jesus, and especially ministers, I see it as a great opportunity, because what they haven't had in the way of their spiritual intervention, then we're able to give that. And, I'm thinking about the time, so I'm not going to elaborate too far, but I just want to say that my opportunity or my blessing to be able to bring these children up in the way that they should go. It's been a blessing because I meet some of them sometimes and they tell me where they are, you know, where they're going to church, even some of those that delved out into drugs or whatever, they'll tell me how long they've been clean, you know, and they're walking upright with the Lord. And it's a blessing, because when we pour in, you know, what God gives us to give them, teach them, bring them up in the way that they should go, and most of all, show forth the love that we have inside
yeah.
of us that came from God. When we can show that and have that opportunity to show them in every way, you know, to deal with their needs totally as a whole person. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I just thank God. I just want to say I thank God for that. And we can look back
amen.
And see these children growing and being who they who they were really meant to be, who God wanted
Amen.
Them to be.
Right.
I thank God for the
yeah.
opportunity. It was a blessing for me, for them, and those that are around them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Vanessa.
I think that also it's really important as we minister together, as we co-labor together, that there are many times that I've had young women come to me and some men, young men, and as it pertains to a level of transparency that I can share, not reveling in my past and saying, I haven't always been saved. And when I was out there doing everything I thought I was big and bad enough to do, God was dealing with my heart. And I think that we need to remember about the secret service that we do for these young people about being able to impart their worth. That is so important. I think Pastor Dorisel was talking about different things in the heart, and it reminds me of what Jesus did with Nicodemus and how he came to him at night. We have to think about the fact that many of these young people will never necessarily come to the altar. But they may call you one night. They may say, you want to go eat? Want to go take a walk? And then we begin to share. And then as we listen to the Holy Spirit, that's really when the healing and impartation of strength and love, whatever that person may need, is given. And we just have to, it's like what you said, Apostle, because be willing to take a step out and let God use you as it pertains to the secret service that you may be doing
good.
For someone.
I like
to be
that.
Able to empower.
I
want to
be a part of God's secret service. Amen. I like that, Pastor Vanessa. Yes, I like that. I'm going to use that one, okay? Yes, we need to be a part of God's secret service. Because you know what? We have, you know, there's a lot of people that bless their hearts, even if their intentions are good. They, you know, they still do things because they want credit. They want it to be known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's what we do in secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I tell people, your character is what you do when nobody is looking. That's real character.
That's it.
Your real character.
Yes.
So what we do for the Lord, those like Pastor Vanessa said, when we take that young girl to the side, you know, you might know this young lady can't cook. She can't boil an egg. She can't boil water. Maybe you might just invite her over one day and say, hey, you know, you always say how much you like my such and such a casserole or whatever. Let me show you how, let me teach you how to make it yourself.
Amen.
You know, and it's just right there in your home. You don't need an audience. You don't need to get on the phone and tell people what you did. It's that secret service. I really like that. That resonated with me right there because, you know, because that is when God truly gets the glory. And it is a wonderful feeling when you visit those sisters in prison and you're in a store they walk up to you and they say, how did you cook? And you turn around, and you might recognize them from the prison, but you ain't trying to let everybody else know that's where you recognize
them
from.
That's right. Amen.
But they'll come and say, you know, you came out to the prison, and you ministered to me, and since then, I got out, I got clean, I got my kids back. Oh, and she said, I prayed Pookie up out of, I'll be telling them, look, if you sit in here, you need to be praying Pookie up out your house right now. You need to be praying him on. About your house right now. I used to tease them and tell them that. And, you know, it is a blessing when you know that you were just, you know, you had a say just a little bit, a little part of helping somebody on their journey.
That's it.
So I praise God for that, and I praise God for all of you. And I just want to just say thank you all tonight for coming out. And just being a part of tonight's service, tonight's teaching. So, but I want to just thank everybody that was listening. I want to thank the beautiful sisterhood of Spirit Alive. I want to thank Minister Tina Brown, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, our beautiful sister Diane, Mother Matt T., I want to thank Pastor Vanessa Carver and, of course, Evangelist Michelle Scott. These are my ride or die sisters. This is the sisterhood of the Spirit Alive Network. So on behalf of all of us, we just want to say thank you for listening. We praise God for you. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And also follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow, you can hear Pastor Vanessa Carver as she brings her teaching, Wounded No More, her program entitled Wounded No More. And then all of us sisters, we're going to come out on Friday, and we're going to be honoring all the men of the Spirit Alive Network, hallelujah, in honor of Father's Day. So we just pray that you continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network, and from our household to yours, it is truly our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night. And God bless you from the sisterhood of the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, my beautiful sisters. You
good
were
night,
phenomenal.
I love you.
Amen.
Good night.
Yes.
Good night.
Love you
God
all.
Bless you all. Thank you.
Love you all. Good night.
Love you all. Good night.